Welcome to episode 66 of the Frenemy Sports Podcast. NFL recap today, our pick'em will be out the following day, hopefully depending on how quickly we get things done. We're going to start on Thursday night. Ravens, Buccaneers. You know, I picked the Buccaneers here thinking that Tom Brady would figure some stuff out, and it looked like he did, and then we just fell apart in the second half. But yeah, Baltimore wins. I believe Baltimore is now first place in the division, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they're 5-3. Yeah, it looks like Baltimore is taking a step in the right direction, and the Buccaneers are still falling apart.
Tom's got to figure it out. He's got to figure out his love life, as said on here, and then until that happens. They won't win a game.
Yeah, Jacob, it was just a bad time for the Buccaneers pick, especially with Tom, the letters.
First, though.
The letters the next morning. That's not ideal.
No, honestly, once that came in, I knew my pick was gone.
Yeah.
I was hoping for some, you know, before you divorce, maybe they see each other one more time. They just bang out the thoughts and you play better. Mm-hmm. Just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Jackson, any thoughts? Or are we moving on?
No, it's just it's the same deal. You know, the Buccaneers, they're not going to succeed unless their leader's succeeding. And right now, their leader's heart is shattered. I will say this. In my journalism 1010 class today with Dr. D, there are three dudes sitting behind me. And I heard like a great 20-minute conversation of them just going back and forth about Tom Brady. You know, is it his fault? Is it Giselle's fault? And, you know, like they were talking, you know, should Brady have walked away from the game last year? Or, you know, do you have some losses that are as bad as the Rams loss? You just got to keep going. So, you know, I thought it was really nice. I really like Dr. D and I like my journalism class. But it was refreshing to hear some other people talk about Tom Brady and, you know, his divorce other than frenemies. And then I did obviously tell them that, you know, frenemies had the divorce first, well before Schefter and Rappaport. But, yeah, no, the Buccaneers are in trouble until Brady finds a woman.
Thank you, Jackson, for that insightful thought. And a sneak peek into what you're doing at OU. All right. Sunday, first game in London, 9:30. Denver Broncos, as Russell Wilson did his high knees to victory. I think the Jaguars actually played better. I thought they controlled the ball more. Travis Etienne looked fantastic, Hunter. Denver just pulled away, and they won the game.
Yeah, Etienne looks really good. That was a mistake.
Jake's been saying it since the beginning of the year. The Broncos suck. If they're playing at their best, they should probably beat the Jaguars by 2 scores. They barely squeaked out a win, but I mean, I guess maybe this starts something. I don't know. They're just, even in the win, there wasn't a lot of positives for me for the Broncos.
No, their ass.
Yeah, a lot of negatives. The biggest negative was that game wasn't played in America. I'll say this, though. People have told me, and a lot of people tell me, that, you know, Jack, you are always right. And whether when you say something, whether you say something and it's not right in that moment, it'll come to fruition later. And that is exactly what has happened with Trevor Lawrence. I said going into that draft.
No, you're not.
Trevor Lawrence isn't just not the number one quarterback. I don't think he's a top two or top three quarterback in that draft class. And, you know, time and time again, Trevor Lawrence is proving.
Jack, me name the top right. Name three quarterbacks better than him in this draft.
In that draft class? Zach Wilson, wrong. Mac Jones,
wrong,
Justin
wrong.
Field.
Those are all wrong.
I will take all three of them over. Yeah.
Mac Wilson got benched by Bailey Zappi, who was playing.
Mac Wilson's the current starter, or not? Mac Jones. Sorry, Mac Jones is the current starter, and he's been to the playoffs.
20 points against the Jets, and had a pick six. I was taken back.
That's one
Justin
game.
Fields
one game. Justin Fields. Justin Fields. Carter, I'm going to say sorry to you. Because, you know, once again, I'm always told that, Jack, you're always right and everything you say will always come to fruition. I had Justin Fields as my QB1 in that draft class. He is proving that he is the QB1 in that draft class. He looked awful to start the year. And then, you know, time has gone on. Justin Fields is now learning how to play with nothing around him, okay? Justin Fields was QB1 in that draft class. I feel bad. He just got a horrible receiver in the trade market today in Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool will do nothing to that offense because Chase Claypool is a pathetic wide receiver. But no, Justin Fields, I think right now, is the best quarterback in that draft class. And I think it's one of the worst quarterback draft classes of all time after how much it was hyped up.
Jackson, the only statement I agree with you there is how pathetic Chase Claypool is. I do not think Fields has looked that great. Has he looked better? Sure. QB1, maybe, but like, even if he's a QB1 right now in that draft class, he still has not looked good at all to do anything with a competent NFL team in his past
year. In my eyes, in my estimation, Zach Wilson is the best QB in that draft class right now. I think Zach Wilson's one, and Fields and Trevor Lawrence are at like that 2A, 2B type level, where I think Trevor Lawrence played a little bit better than Justin Fields this season so far. But I mean, I've been high on Zach Wilson from the beginning, and the Jets are playing well. But Zach Wilson also, in my opinion, has better weapons around him than.
Yeah, it's like a Trevor Lawrence philosophy.
Chicago.
Like, to point out, look who Trevor Lawrence is being coached by right now. He's being coached by a coach that won a Super Bowl. Look who Mac Jones is being coached by, the greatest coach of all time. And then look at Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, he has arguably the best offense around him, okay? And Zach Wilson's doing nothing that you can say is like, wow. He's doing nothing like that. Mac Jones has accomplished, you know, very little. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't done a thing. He legit hasn't done a thing in the NFL except throw interceptions. He hasn't done a thing. Trevor Lawrence hasn't done a thing in the NFL. Right now, he's being coached by a Super Bowl champion in the worst division in football, and he can't find a way to squeak out 4 wins right now. And then meanwhile, Justin Fields, in 2 years, he was coached by why am I forgetting his name? The old Bears coach. Coach Trubisky. Matt Nagy. Coached by Nagy, arguably one of the worst coaches in the NFL. And then they bring in a defensive coordinator this year from the Colts. I'm sorry, Fields has had no NFL coaching, and he has had no talent around him except for David Montgomery. It's a bad O-line, probably the worst in the NFL. Nah, maybe not worst, but it's bottom tier. And then by far the worst receiving core in the NFL. By far. The only receiving core that compares is the Packers. And the Packers has more talent than the Bears.
Jackson, the Jaguars have started better this season than almost anyone in America thought they would have started.
And look where they're at now.
They're fighting for the playoffs in the AFC South. They're fighting for the playoffs. What?
They can't win a game right now.
They're not getting blown out.
They're
I don't care if you're not getting blown out. The Browns are getting blown out, and they're 3-5.
Does Trevor Lawrence have issues? Yes. Ball security. His pocket presence sucks ass. Yes, it does. But my God, has he looked so much better from year one to year two? It's not even close. No, you can't shake your head. He's improved in literally almost every statistical category already, and he looks so much better.
I just straight up disagree with that. I don't think he looks better, obviously.
For winning bowl games.
Look like he took a massive leap. He looks eerily similar to how he did last year, with like maybe an improvement here and an improvement there. He looks like for the rest of his career, he will be the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, probably for the rest of his career. I don't think he ever turns into a top 10 QB. I don't think he has that potential.
Jackson, you know, you make this argument that like Fields has no help and that Lawrence has all this help. And you look at the weapons, Christian Kirk is the best receiver on the Jaguars.
Correct.
Darrell Mooney is the best receiver on the Bears. Many would argue that Darrell Mooney is better than Christian Kirk.
Or 1A, 1B.
I would also argue Lawrence also.
Running back. You have Montgomery and Herbert. He has Robinson's gone. He has Etienne now. It's very similar.
And Trevor Lawrence right now also has a coach that won a Super Bowl. And I don't think that
Jackson. Doug Peterson is not Jesus. Doug Peterson is not
paid $25 million for a
reason. Well, yes, Jackson, yes. It was a miracle run. They looked great, and then they were shit the next year.
Nick Foles threw for 500 yards in a Super Bowl.
It was a magical season, Jackson. Yes, that happens sometimes. Kind of like the Panthers in 2015. But They were nothing.
The Panthers that year had one of the best offenses and best defenses in the NFL. I don't think that's magical.
Yes, Jackson, it is, because next year they sucked dick. They did. Both teams. They had a magical year and they sucked right after.
So then what about the Rams? Was the Rams run last year magical?
No. Nope.
Right now the Rams look awful. They had
success before that.
So did the Eagles. The Eagles were in the playoffs before that. And the Eagles were in the playoffs the year after the Super Bowl, too.
Like 9-7 wild card.
They were still in the playoffs, though. They weren't this massive fall off like we treat them that they are. I do not think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. I think he is one of the most I've said since 2021, he is the most overrated quarterback prospect the NFL has ever seen.
He's had, I think two bad games in total. And we're not forgetting on prime time when Justin Fields scored 7 total points. We're just going to gloss over that. Jackson, that was 2 weeks ago. So your recency bias is horrible.
Just wait.
And again, if you ask 32 teams right now, they would all take Trevor Lawrence and they wouldn't think twice. Let's move on. Yes, next up here. What game are we on now? Panthers Falcons. Maybe the best game of the week just by the ending. It was just crazy. I was watching it in our like dorm lounge. It was just insane. I thought the Falcons won. Panthers get the ball. They throw that touchdown pass. I thought they won it. DJ Moore's an idiot, decides to take his helmet off, 15-yard penalty. Missed the field goal. He then gets a shorter one in overtime. Misses it again. Falcons win with the field goal by Younghoe, the GOAT. And the Falcons are somehow, in some way, the leader of the NFC South, which is unbelievable. Also to note that Baker Mayfield is now the backup to PJ Walker. He is not injured. He is just the backup. Anyone?
Do you guys think that was a taunting?
He took off his helmet. You can't do that. Like, by rule, it's just you have to call it.
No. Whoa, Jake. No, by rule, the rule is if you're off the field, you can take off your helmet. He was off the field when he took off his helmet. Because there's a whole thing on Twitter about it. They looked up, it was like a certain rule in the rule book. If a player takes off his helmet on the field 15 yards, if a player is off the field, like through the back of the end zone, he can take off his helmet. So I think it was a bad call by the official.
Can the player throw the helmet into the stands?
That's what Stephon Diggs did.
Yeah, I mean, but it's different circumstances too. Stephon Diggs was a walk-off.
DJ Moore's was practically a walk-off.
Okay, no, Jackson, no. That's a lie. No, it wasn't a walk-off.
That's not a lie, and I didn't say it was a walk-off. I said it was practically a walk-off. It was an extra point away from being a walk-off.
As one source knowledge of the application of the rule explained it to PFT, the rule is intended to prevent a player from taking his helmet off, throwing it, and running around without it as part of a demonstration in any portion of the field of play, whether within the boundaries of the gridiron or beyond it.
Now, do I agree with that? No. My favorite era of college football is the 80s and early 2000s Miami Hurricanes. I love the celebration. I loved everything about it. It was absolutely amazing to me. And I think that emotion is a critical part of sports. Now, is there like a line? Yes, but throwing your helmet in the stands, probably a negative thing, but just throwing your helmet if it's not hitting anyone, not in jeopardy of hitting anyone, then I don't know. I don't see that big of a deal. I think the more impressive thing is PJ Walker made the best throw of the year and no one said anything about it.
That is true.
I didn't even see it until Twitter until it came up on Twitter 8 hours later.
No, that throw was incredible.
I mean, he's going weak hand, weak side, cross his body, and just, I mean, you couldn't have placed it any better.
Baker Mayfield might not play another NFL snap.
He's not going to.
I saw a tweet, which kind of like, I think Baker should do this. He should sign to be a backup for the Rams, so when Stafford ends up retiring or gets old, he then has a really good play caller and a good head coach to lead him, so he can kind of learn I think it's the best spot for him. Because honestly, at this point, it's just sad.
All right. You know, and never mind. That's a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
Okay. We'll move on. Bears, Cowboys. Justin Fields, amazing quarterback that he is, was down 28-7 after 2.5 quarters. But yeah, Cowboys win by 20. I don't have a lot of thoughts about this game. Just a blowout.
Cowboys look good, and Bears like immediately traded Raekwon Smith after. So I mean, they're basically tanking for draft picks. Raekwon, if that's how you're spelling the name, Roquan, whatever it is. All respect to him. He's a top five linebacker, though.
Pollard should be starting.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He should be starting. Jerry Jones is an idiot. The quote they had after the game saying that Zeke still has like this powerful physique about him and he can still just like be a game changer.
If Zeke was in shape, he should be starting. But the problem is Zeke isn't in shape, and I don't know why he isn't in shape. Pisses me off.
I think he's just his body's been through so many carries, he just doesn't have stuff left in the tank. I just think he's done. I think he's a good two. Like correct. When you're with like Zeke can only score touchdowns now if it's on the 1 yard line. I honestly don't think he can't.
He's more of a power. He isn't, yeah.
Like he doesn't have the explosiveness he had
At the same time, I want to see Tony Pollard's against a better opponent. I want to see him as a one against a better opponent.
We also all know if Zeke was getting paid the same money as Pollard was getting paid, Pollard was.
Yeah.
It's just
a huge part of it, yeah, for sure.
All right, Jax, I'm going to go to the next game here because you're eating a cookie. Dolphins, Lions in Detroit. The Lions are pathetic. It's honestly, it's shameful, Jax. And I blame you for trying to say, what do you say? The roar
Restore the roar.
Restore the roar. The roar sucks. The roar is gone. They're a horrible lions. It's a baby little lion. They got one wing that tries to hang its paw out every single time. They just get destroyed by the other team. But no, it's sad. Campbell looks like he's going to be gone. That's my guess by the end of the season.
They basically just have at this given rate, up they on this offense. You guys saw the trade, I'm assuming.
What's up?
You guys didn't see the Lions trade?
Yeah, Hawkinson.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that seems like they're waving the white flag to me.
Yeah, Hawkinson gone. They fired a position coach. Detroit's done. Great wide receiver pair that's working out. Tua looked good as well. Also, Miami got who'd they get? Oh, Bradley Chubb on that trade, deadline trade. So that should help their defensive line.
Yeah, they could make a scary run in the playoffs just because of how dangerous their receiving core is.
The only thing I'm afraid in the playoffs is I don't want to see Tua's dainty little left-handed arm in the snow trying to throw a 50-yard bomb because I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's not ideal.
I trust Mike McDaniel, so he'll probably think of a good plan. But all right, we're going to move on here. Cardinals-Vikings. Another good ending. Vikings, I feel like they kind of been, we haven't really spoken about them a lot. They're, 6-1, I think? 6-1 now?
Rolling.
Which is just unbelievable. The defense, especially the offense, looks terrific. Again, the only issue, though, is you look at, do you think Kirk Cousins can win you a playoff game if you need him to? Like, make really great throws under pressure? I don't think so.
I don't think it matters if they run the ball the way they've been running the ball. If they're able to run the ball with Dalvin Cook as effectively as they have the past couple of games and set up play action and stuff like that, it plays into Kirk not having to throw the ball 40 times per game in the playoffs. And if that defense can keep playing solid, they have a chance to make a deep run in the playoffs.
I feel like it's more of a defense. I'm looking at Cook had 20 carries. He ran the ball well. I don't know. I feel like their line is just solid. Like, they don't have a great line, but it's good enough. And Dalvin Cook is slowly going like this, I think. I think he's slowly, very slowly, but slowly just increasing just because of his age and usage, and Madison's going to eventually take over. that starting role. I don't know. I
mean, I'm sure that has no bias towards your fantasy implications at all.
I know, I'm just saying that, like, Alexander Mattison is just is a phenomenal back as well, and he's younger than Dalvin Cook, but not this year. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But with T.J. Hockenson coming in and Justin Jefferson, I think if Kirk Cousins can just get his playmakers the ball, they'll have a chance. But I don't think they beat any of the top dogs. Like, I don't think they are a top dog. I'll take the Giants over them.
You'll take the, okay. You'll take the New York Football Giants over the Minnesota Vikings. The New York
Football Giants are freaking good at damn football.
They lost to Seattle.
You'll take Daniel Jones over Kirk Cousins. What do you mean no? What do you mean no? It happened. It happened.
No. The Giants play better football than the Vikings.
Did the Giants lose to the Seattle Seahawks?
All right, time out. Hold on. I'm sick and tired of this because this is something that I watched the College Football Committee show tonight, and so, like, that analogy just pisses me off. You can't do the Pythagorean theorem in football, okay? You can't take a team and then look who they lost to and then say, boom, that's who they're going to lose to, okay? The Seahawks, if you haven't noticed, they're in first place in the NFL West. No.
That's not what I was saying.
That's exactly what you're saying.
No, I'm sorry.
They're in first place in the NFL West, okay?
You weren't paying attention and eating your cookies. Carter was just saying a nice, just –
No.
As I said, all we said was Seattle beat the Giants. Maybe, you know, they're not as good as Hunter's building up to be.
No, that drives me nuts.
I'm not sorry. Football game.
And not to mention, they lost.
You don't even know what you're talking about right now, so I suggest you shut up. I did not say that the Minnesota Vikings would beat the Giants because the Giants lost to the Seahawks. No. Jake said the Seahawks just lost or beat the Giants. And Hunter said no. I'm saying, what do you mean no? They just beat the Giants. That doesn't mean no way did I ever say.
Honestly, Carter, honestly, I think Hunter rightfully had the chance to say no there. I think that was a well-deserved no because that makes no sense. You can lose to a football team and still be a good football team, okay?
Jack,
and it's not like they lost
Jack,
to a bad football
I am
team.
Saying.
Jack, first place Jack, in West. Hunter said no to a fact is what we were objecting
no.
to.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. I said the Seattle beat the Giants. Hunter responded with quote unquote no.
Okay, and I don't think he's wrong. His mind works differently than ours, but I don't think he's wrong.
Listen, to explain my no a little bit more, obviously Jack understands, but you guys don't understand in-depth knowledge of the no. What I meant to say within the no was I think it was a massive letdown spot for the Giants. I still think they're a legit football team. However, just that week in particular was a letdown spot. That's what the no meant. It was pretty clear.
Are you a teenage
girl?
Do you say things with that mean different than what Jack is saying? Why couldn't you just say, yeah, they did, but it was a letdown spot, and I think the Giants are a better football team? No. Would that be that hard?
You know why he didn't say that? He pulled out Adam's asshole as Jackson was speaking as he's trying to think.
No, I've known Hunter since I was four, okay? I can read him. He can read me.
Get you two shirts, both of you shirts that say no. And I'm going to get me and Jake shirts that say yes. We're going to be the yes and no team.
No.
There it is. Oh, God. Next game. Move on.
All right. Hold on. Oh, shit. Give me a second here. All right. Here we go. Raiders, Saints. This was probably the game I was most surprised on. I was not expecting the Raiders just to get absolutely steamrolled. They're just a bad football team. I had hope for them. They lost some close games early on. But, like, Davante Adams having, what, maybe one or two receptions at the end of the game? He had zero fantasy points at the mid-fourth quarter. That's all I know. McDaniels, it looks like he wasn't the right hire. You traded these pieces. You tried to, you know, assemble a great team, and it's just not working out. It's a really sad spot. Oh, Carter, your Saints, though, get back in the winning column. So hope maybe your Super Bowl pick and sneak back in the playoffs. But yeah, I was honest about
that outcome. Yeah. I remember saying, I think before the season, or maybe it was during the summer, I don't know if I said on the podcast or not, but I knew the AFC West was going to have one bad team. I just didn't know which one it was going to be because they were so hyped up going into the season, the entire AFC West, let alone they have two teams that are not very good at football. Like, The Raiders, I feel like, should be good. Like, I think the Raiders have a higher chance of succeeding right now than the Broncos, just based off kind of how they've played the past couple weeks. But it's similar. I don't know. They have a lot of issues, I think, coaching-wise right now, but they have the players, I feel like.
I would argue there's three bad teams. I mean, you look at the Chargers. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Texans. They beat the Browns by because we missed a field goal. And they beat the Chargers, all by, like, under 3 points. I honestly don't know if the Chargers are a good team now either. They have no quality wins.
The Chargers. I'm not worried about the Chargers. The Chargers will be fine.
They lost the Seahawks by 14 points. I know they had injuries, but
the Raiders were to me what the Broncos were to Jake at the beginning of the season. I didn't like this team at all from the start. And then all of a sudden Josh McDaniels decides not to throw it to probably at the beginning of the season, the consensus best wide receiver in the NFL. And so if I would have known that, if I would have not only known the roster, but then known that Josh McDaniels was not a fan of Davante Adams all of a sudden, it would have been amazing. So, yeah, I think we can move on to the next game. Not really much more to say.
All right. Here we go. Patriots, Jets. New York. Both New York teams lost this week. With the Jets being the last team to lose. Nope, both teams lost, Jackson. Oh, okay. There we go. Thank you for that, Jackson, that little demonstration. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots won. They didn't look necessarily great. The defense looked good, but that offense still struggles. Wilson has by far his worst game. There was some like film breakdown on Twitter, and they showed just him just blatantly missing reads and just not reading the correct defense. But yeah, I think the Jets still be okay, and I think the Patriots will then be okay. But neither of these teams, I really see like a necessarily high ceiling.
I'm still not sold on Mac Jones. I think Bailey Zappe could be the starter for this team by the end of the year. And the no bros, any comments for you?
The no bros, I like that.
And they both said no. Okay, moving on.
Jackson, feel free to speak on the games, because I know this is recap, and you haven't spoken about an actual like game other than you calling out Carter's bullshit in like 5 minutes. So please feel free to give your thoughts.
Sorry, I was watching highlights of the Bobcats game. We're bowl eligible in first place in the match.
No one
cares.
Okay. No one. Happy thoughts.
Steelers, Eagles.
I'll give my thoughts. I will give my thoughts here. This game made me really happy. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are the laughingstock of the NFL currently. Nothing about that offense is good. Nothing about that defense is good. The only solid piece they have on defense right now is Minkah Fitzpatrick. When T.J. Watt's not out there, that defense is just pathetic. They're useless. They can't do a thing. A.J. Brown turned that entire secondary into his little son. Jalen Hurts looks phenomenal. I was about to say the Phillies, but they also look phenomenal. Phillies look phenomenal. Eagles look phenomenal. Everything's up in Philadelphia. It was just a hell of a game to watch. A.J. Brown looks like a phenomenal trade. Howie Roseman has done a hell of a job with the Eagles. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matt Canada's got to go. Matt Canada has nothing. The Steelers are in a lot of trouble because, you know, they're going to have a top five pick, and I don't think they can take a quarterback with Kenny Pickett on the roster. Smith?
Yeah, you summed it up phenomenal. Pittsburgh Steelers played absolutely garbage. A.J. Brown dominated him. That was really A.J. Jalen Hurts looks phenomenal as well. That's about it.
I mean, I just want to say this just because normally this person is not very wrong when it comes to his trades, but he was on this one. Treylon Burks. Anyone in particular have any thoughts on Treylon Burks? Who's called the number one receiver in this class?
He is.
Oh, okay.
He has not played a game, you shit. He has been hurt. He's been on the IR.
And he was terrible at the start of the season too. And if he played, he wouldn't be better than AJ Brown has been.
AJ Brown, why are we comparing Treylon Burks to AJ Brown? No, clearly Treylon Burks in his first damn year is not a wide receiver one, but my God, he's played one game. We're not going to call him a bust.
He'll be working as Baker Mayfield's assistant in about 2 or 3 years.
Oh my God. That's just pathetic.
Carter, I hate agreeing with you.
Which actually leads perfectly. It's like a segue into our next game here. Derrick Henry is washed. Derrick Henry is washed. I don't think so.
He sucks. Derrick Henry is not good.
Hunter.
He had 32 carries. I could do the same shit Derrick Henry did when I forgot the ball every damn play.
He had 19 yards. He had two touchdowns and averaged 6 yards a carry. 7 yards a carry.
They literally had no one else on offense. Their best receivers out and their quarterbacks out.
So then put the entire team to stop him.
He played good last week, but he has not been good this year. He started off very slow. He's picked it up the past like 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm pretty sure he's third in rushing.
He's a top three running back.
Yes, he's third in rushing.
What do you mean? Name three better.
Nick Chubb's better.
Okay.
I would argue Kamara's better.
No.
Okay. No.
And I would argue David Montgomery's up there.
Okay. No. Not seeing. No. I wish to stop right there.
Hunter, where do you have David Montgomery? Like about what number?
Pure running back.
Yeah. Pure running back.
Just based on pure running back, Montgomery's a top.
What are you talking about?
I don't think it's shitty.
No.
We not do this.
David Montgomery's a legit running back.
He's not better than Derrick Henry, but David Montgomery needs a chance. Free David Montgomery.
Travis Etienne is better than Derrick Henry. Montgomery has played so well.
Did you just say Travis Etienne is better than Derrick Henry?
He's way faster. Travis Etienne would blow him out of the water.
Speed is not. Oh my God.
See, Jackson, no. Derrick Henry needs to cut his hair. Because you encourage this behavior.
No, I don't encourage that. No, say Etienne is better than Derrick Henry.
You encourage when Hunter goes in these little dumbass rants that make no sense, and you support him, and he gets that little smile on his face, and you think he's doing the right thing. That's on you.
No.
If you tell a kid eating 20 bars of candy on Halloween, then you just encourage him. He's just going to keep eating more. Hunter's going to keep throwing shit out of his mouth.
But here's the thing. I mean, Hunter's in first place for Pick'em for a reason. He knows something we don't.
Picking games and knowing players is completely different.
I don't think it is because Hunter dominates in that category,
right?
I think the way
Hunter said Derrick Henry was washed, he went from I think maybe 20s in rushing yards to third in the entire league.
Yeah, he heard me. The whole state of Tennessee should be thanking me.
Oh my freaking God.
By the way, if Derrick Henry cut his damn hair, then maybe I would consider him a top three running back. He's so easy to tackle.
Technical foul. You know the rules. We're done. 15-second timeout. 15-second timeout.
Carter, put him on mute. Them by the hair. Carter. Every Carter. Time they always tackle by the hair.
It's Carter. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on here. Carter, I'll tell you when you can let him loose. Okay.
He ended up meeting himself, so.
Commanders Colts. Taylor Heinicke with a game-winning drive. If you're talking about, you know, players playing just extremely well and just carrying teams to victory, honestly, Taylor Heinicke should be in the MVP conversation when he does for their team. Ever since he's come back to Washington and being the starting quarterback, he just pulls wins out of his asshole and leads W's. I love Taylor Heinicke. And this team is now a playoff team.
You're saying the Redskins are – or sorry, the Commanders are a playoff team?
If Taylor Heinicke starts, yes.
They're 4-4.
And 2-0, Taylor Heinicke.
I don't know if the Commanders are like that. Good at football, and I don't know if Taylor Heinicke's that good at football, but he plays with so much passion and heart that he wills his team to wins. So if they made the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't be surprised.
My comment from last week, he is, I don't know if you ever saw like the Teddy Bridgewater picture where you can see, you know, a certain body part just stringing along. I think Taylor Heinicke is very similar, and I think that's why this team is going to continue to win games.
Fair take.
Carter?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call them a playoff contender yet, but they could make a real little run at the playoffs here with that division. Yeah, they're not catching the Eagles. Never mind. I'm sorry, Jake. I have no idea how they get in the playoffs here. Now I'm thinking about it, but who knows? We'll see.
I don't know either, Carter. But I know is that their quarterback has massive skill, and I think he can carry them to the playoffs. All right, next game here: 49ers Rams. Kyle Shanahan continues his dominance of the Rams. Christian McCaffrey looked wonderful. When you have him and Kittle and Samuel and Ayuk and Shanahan calling the plays and that defense being able to just take, they get early leads on defense can just play downhill. This team is extremely scary. Extremely scary. And they are built for the playoffs.
Jake, I completely agree. If McCaffrey stays healthy, this Niners team, they're Super Bowl contenders. How could they not be? One of the best defenses in the league. The offense goes nuts. Carter, don't point at me. You had the Saints in the Super Bowl. No, it's a very, very, very good football team. The only question mark is quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. It's your only question.
Nope. Similar to Taylor Heineke, he's a fearless, gutsy leader.
That's just not true.
That Jimmy is Garoppolo true.
That's a horrible take. No, that's
Jimmy,
a horrible
Jimmy
take.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he's
an American Eagle mogul that should be playing football. I don't even like Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
He plays hard. He cares about the San Francisco City. He sat there getting replaced after leading the team to the NFC Championship, and he's gonna make the right plays on the stretch. I have confidence in Jimmy G.
Hold on that Carter, this is the difference.
Sure, but they also have top three. Christian McCaffrey is probably a top three running back. Kittle at his best is a top three tight end. Deebo Samuel's a top five wide receiver or utility guy or whatever you want to call him. I mean, they have a lot of talented guys. But I think Jimmy G, with that defense and with the playmakers, if he just makes the right simple plays, he's not going to go out and win you a game, but he's going to play hard and he's going to lead the team.
Carter, go back to your previous comment. Hold on, Hunter. You can go right after me. I said something really quick. Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy you call to like see like what's a good place to get a haircut from. Taylor Heineke is the guy you call if you're about to get a fight in the back alley. You need your boys.
Okay,
to
that's fair.
You. That's why I want going into war with, not Mr. Model, who cares about how his beard's trimmed and how his hair's looking for him.
I don't care who the 49ers have on their offense or defense. But Jimmy G at quarterback, it'll be the same shit, different year. They'll win a game or two in the playoffs and it'll crumble. I mean, it'll happen. They will not win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo at their quarterback. That is guaranteed.
McCaffrey can tip that scale.
No, I don't think
he can. And with Ayuk being a legit wide receiver too?
No, I honestly don't think he does. With Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback, I genuinely don't think you can win a Super Bowl. I just don't think it's possible. I don't care who you have on offense or defense. If Jimmy's playing, maybe I'm wrong at the end of the season, but I don't think they win it.
I believe in you, Jimmy.
He reminds me of Brayden Staley. He's such a beta. Jimmy Garoppolo's such a beta.
Speaking of coaches, can I throw something out?
Of course, Jackson.
Yeah. So it's fair to say the Rams are experiencing one of the worst. One of the worst Super Bowl hangovers, at least in my lifetime. And I think each loss gets closer and closer to putting Sean McVay in the booth. I've said this from week one. I will continue to say it until the year's over. I think Sean McVay at the end of this year, I think he's in a booth somewhere. I don't think he's still coaching at the end of next year. Not because he gets fired, but because he's done. He's won a Super Bowl. He's going to retire. He's going to go back to his supermodel wife. He's going to go back to his multimillion-dollar house in California. And then I think he's going to go get a massive multimillion-dollar contract in a booth somewhere for either Fox, ESPN, someone will pay him.
Jackson, I don't have the energy to argue against this dumb take again, so I'm just going to pass. It looks like Carter's going to pass as well. All right, we're just going to move on here. Giants Seahawks in Seattle. We had this conversation last week. are the Seahawks an actually good team? You have to give it to them now. You can't say no. They may lose next week, but for right now, they are a good football team. They
both sides of the ball. Great
coach. They follow his leadership. The players are all just playing for each other, not for themselves. And, you know, the Giants, they're still good. They're still a good football team. You know, it's tough to play in Seattle. Good props to Seattle. They deserve all the praise they're going to get. One interesting thing in the press conference where I think it was Lockett, Metcalf, and Geno Smith, Lockett talked about how it's nice to have none of the players like care about their own stats or like their own like personal like goals and like accomplishments they get, which people said is a shot at Russell Wilson. I think it's a really good insight to how Russell Wilson likes to run his locker room and how he wants like all the glory on him, even though he doesn't directly do it. It's kind of just he does it through his actions. I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that you summed it up perfectly.
I think the Seahawks are building something. I think they have one of the best draft management teams in the league. They draft pretty well, except, well, I guess not really, though. The last couple of years they haven't, but like they're the Legion of
Cold.
Yeah, the Legion of, like, when they get it right, they get it right. Like this kid they got that's leading the league in interceptions right now. I was watching some highlights from this game, and he's a freaking really good safety. Really good corner. They play a lot of zone, and he plays it right. But like, I guess it just depends on how they continue to draft, because I think they have a better offense than they did when they were Super Bowl contenders.
I feel like you can't
put the defense together.
You can't even say the Seahawks are putting something special. At all, I don't feel like, because of their core, like they have Kenneth Walker in the corner they got that you're talking about, who were very good draft pieces, but like, Geno Smith's not going to do you anything in the future. Tyler Lockett's not going to do you anything in the future. You have DK, but like with Geno and Tyler Lockett going, I feel like DK's going to get frustrated because it's going to take a while for them to rebuild. So they're a very like middle of the pack team right now. I don't really know what Seattle's future even looks like with that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
Like, you can't go anywhere with Geno. Like, Geno's such a good veteran like quarterback, but like he's a perennial backup at the same time. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know who the Seahawks kind of remind me of? They remind me a lot of this year's Cleveland Guardians team. No expectations going into the year. Weren't supposed to be successful. They trade away a superstar, get a big haul in return. They don't tear everything down. They keep some of their stars, like DK and Tyler Lockett, and they draft well. It reminds me, and they don't even play football like the conventional way. Like the Guardians didn't play baseball the conventional way.
Well, the difference is we're the youngest team in baseball. The Seahawks have for late.
Well, the Seahawks are still a young team, kind of with the exception of Tyler Lockett. Fant's young. DK's young. That's a young O-line. The corner that's leading the league in picks, he is also young. Kenneth Walker, rookie running back, one of the best running backs over the last 3 weeks in the NFL. And they're a very scrappy team. And then look who they're coached by. They're coached by an older guy that has won a championship in the past and that always finds a way to get them to the playoffs or at least in it to the very end. I am a huge fan of what Seattle's done this year. I've said this since like week 3 or 4. I think Pete Carroll is right now, it's him or DeBolt for coach of the year. I think Pete Carroll's done a sensational job. And I just cannot say enough about the Seattle Seahawks. I think they've had a phenomenal season.
That's fine, and I agree with that, but you can't do all of that without a quarterback. How long are you expecting Geno Smith to go? Is the issue. Is he
Hunter. That's the thing about the NFL, and I think it's overlooked so much, is the quarterback position, you know, it's not as important as it's made out to be by the media. The most important number with a quarterback, it's not passing yards, it's not completion percentage, it's money. It's how much money they're making. Because when you have a quarterback on a small contract and you can pay out the rest of your roster, you can be successful even with marginal quarterback play. And Geno Smith is a very marginal quarterback. You know who else is a marginal quarterback? Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Is Geno Smith the future? Yes or no?
Absolutely not, no. I don't think so. I think the Seahawks are in a great position, though, because I think they have their first-round pick. They have the Broncos' first-round pick. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks, I find a way, come this draft, package those two first-round picks, Go get CJ Stroud. Go get Bryce Young. Keep the entire roster intact and together. Go win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. That's what I do if I'm Seattle. I think they are so close. And I think Geno Smith, honestly, Hunter, I think Geno Smith can win you a playoff game. Not him by himself, but I think him under center for a very good football team, maybe, which I think the Seattle Seahawks are. And it's not like they would go into the that experience. Tyler Lockett, he's been there. DK Metcalf, he's been there. Most of that defense, they've been there. Pete Carroll, he's won a Super Bowl. He's hoisted a Lombardi. Team's got experience. Team's been there. Yeah. And Geno Smith has been around the league for 12, 13 years. He understands how it works. He'd be ready. He'd be prepared. I think the Seahawks can get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, especially if they win the division. If the Seahawks get a home game and they get the 12th man, it is so hard to win in Seattle with the 12th man. I genuinely think the Seahawks teams win a playoff game.
And I agree with that. I just think their ceiling is capped for the future until they find that future quarterback, is all I'm saying.
I don't disagree. Well, I also look at all these teams that, you know, have gone to Super Bowls with really marginal quarterbacks. It's the weirdest thing about the NFL. Every year, there's one quarterback that's like not a superstar, and they find themselves in the biggest game of the year. And even Nick Foles, backup, won a Super Bowl against the greatest player of all time.
All right, yeah. I don't totally agree with you, Jackson. I can understand what you're saying. You're paying quarterback less. You can pay your weapons more, and it just works out that way. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I don't think they win the division because the 49ers are there, but they could easily definitely sneak into a wild card spot as long as one of the NFC East teams slows down and stops winning like a shit ton of games, but we'll see. Sunday Night Football, Packers-Bills. I just have a thought on this game. The Bills played fine. They had a great first half, bad second half. They just took the gas off the pedal. What I was alarmed by is the Packers were down 17, like three scores, like late into the third quarter, and they were still running the football until they absolutely had to pass. They have zero confidence in their passing game. Like, absolutely zero. Like, you're playing in Buffalo. You really have nothing to lose. You're down three scores in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and we are still running the football on second and the 12th. It was unbelievable. It looks like they're throwing in the white towel. Unless they didn't trade for wide receiver today, so they're not getting help there. Watson was hurt after his one catch in the game. I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers may be gone for this year. He's not having fun, and Aaron Rodgers needs to have fun to stay in the game. He'll be the Jeopardy host or Wheel of Fortune, wherever he wants to go. But
yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. It's bad.
You summed it up pretty well.
All right. The first time in all of October, a Browns W, everyone. Victory Tuesday. Finally got a win.
Not Wednesday.
If we played every team like we play the Bengals, we'd be one of the greatest teams of all time. I don't know why, but we always play the Bengals well. Our defense goes from being pathetic and stupid to being great and smart. Jacoby makes smart plays. Nick Chubb looks awesome. We're making for the most part, the correct play calls. Coaching is great. The atmosphere is wonderful. Monday Night Football, Halloween. The only question I have is why can't our defense do this every single week?
Finish your thought.
If they can, if this defense can perform kind of like they did last year, where they were very, very good, and this team can reach some of its defense potential, and you get Deshaun back, and you sneak into the playoffs with a great defense and a great, well, hopefully great quarterback, as we hope and pray that he's going to be, this team is really scary. Now, that's a bunch of ifs, a bunch of buts and ifs. But I'm excited. And I'm back into this football team. I'll probably get heartbroken again, but I'm here.
Can I play devil's advocate on the Browns here? And this might be a take you guys really hate. First and foremost, I think the Browns had a phenomenal game Thursday night. Monday night. Quick shout out, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I was down 11 in my fantasy league. I started out the league 0-4. I won my last three. I needed 11 points to win. Donovan Peoples-Jones got me 12, 4-4, right back, you know, in the hunt. So very excited. That's what I want to say, though. I don't want to get too excited about the Browns. Joe Woods, in my opinion, he has called less than 10 good games in his career as Browns defensive coordinator. I still think he's horrible. If the season ended today, wholeheartedly, I would say you fire Joe Woods. I think he brings nothing. You can have flukes in a game. This is kind of where I'm at. I think that game was more of the Bengals offense missing Ja'Marr Chase than I think it was the Browns defense clicking. And I'll tell you why. Because the Bengals year one with Joe Burrow, one of the worst offenses in the NFL. They couldn't do a thing. The Bengals add Ja'Marr Chase, and they really added nothing else to that offense that season. Actually, no, they didn't add anything to the offense. They just added Ja'Marr Chase last season, only offensive addition. They go to the Super Bowl. First game without Ja'Marr Chase this year. Bengals couldn't do a thing. Now, it's only one game, small sample size. Let's see what happens when they go to Carolina this upcoming week. And I believe they got they just played Atlanta. But they have two easy games. It's Carolina, and they have another easy game on their schedule. If the Bengals offense looks anything like that over the next 2-3 weeks, major cause for concern, because then you know that entire offense is Ja'Marr Chase. And I kind of have that belief that it is. Because, without Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow looks like a below-average NFL quarterback. With Ja'Marr Chase, Bengals offense is one of the best in the NFL. But that's where my head is at after the Browns game. Hope I'm wrong. I don't even hope Joe Woods proves me wrong. I think he should be fired regardless. But I do hope the Browns defense can keep playing like this. And I do think Deion Jones, he made a very big impact. He was all over the field. Play calling was finally correct, which was something I haven't seen in years. There were no, big, mess-ups. The only big play was when Greedy Williams got mossed on the left sideline by T. Higgins. But Greedy's just not a good quarterback.
We sent blitzes. We applied pressure.
It was nice.
And are you going to admit you're wrong about DPJ?
No. Yeah, can we please get that?
No, because I'll still – Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's not a separator. You can scheme him open, but he can't separate.
I'm already freaking gone.
Separators in the NFL. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, if you put him in man-to-man press coverage, he cannot separate. So I'm not going to say I'm wrong about that yet. No. I am absolutely thrilled for Monday. Won me a fantasy game. And no, I'm not. Donovan Peoples-Jones does not create separation. Watch the
Yes, he does. He did it multiple times.
He does not create separation, Carter. That's schemed open. The plays he had on Monday night, he was schemed open. There's a difference between being schemed open and separation, okay? Amari Cooper, one of the best separators in the NFL. Donovan Peoples-Jones, you put a corner on him man-to-man, he is not getting away from him unless he is schemed open through his own defense.
Jackson,
he is not a good separator.
Jones catch a football, the majority of the time, it's this amazing contested catch. Jackson, so let's say he doesn't create the separation as you say. He still is great at catching contested catches, so your point's irrelevant.
I completely disagree.
Well, you can't if he's covering contested covers.
No, because he's not a great catcher of the football. Donovan Peoples-Jones has had so many drops.
This year.
He's been fine this year.
He's been phenomenal.
He's been fine. No, phenomenal. No, see, that's just
phenomenal.
Jake. You cannot use the word phenomenal to describe Donovan Peoples-Jones. Phenomenal is a word to describe elite and the best. And Donovan Peoples-Jones is not – he's nowhere near the top for phenomenal. He doesn't deserve that word. Absolutely not. No one looks at Donovan Peoples-Jones and thinks, man, he's phenomenal. He's not. He's okay at it. He's a decent wide receiver too. He's done a decent job this year, but he's not some
good wide receiver. He's an elite wide receiver too.
He's on pace for 1,000 yards.
He might be the best or top five wide receiver too in the league.
No, Carter, that's just ridiculous. Okay. That's just so flat out stupid, and yet it's just your bias.
Shit. Name five better wide receiver twos.
I probably can easily. Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, Tyler Boyd. I would take T. Higgins over him.
T. Higgins is a wide receiver too. He's better than Tyler Boyd.
Okay, I'd take T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd. Let me go by division. I would take Gabriel Davis. The Jets, probably not. No, I want to take a Jets receiver.
Mike Williams.
I take Mike Williams easily. Jalen Waddle easily.
But Waddle's a one. There's two ones over there.
Oh, my gosh. So, no.
Well, you can have the other five, but Waddle's a one.
No, he's not. He's a wide receiver, too. He's a wide receiver, too, on the Dolphins' depth chart.
But he's a one.
No, he's not, Carter.
It's like Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is a
– No, you moron. He's a wide receiver, too, on the depth chart. Kareem Hunt is a running back, too, on the Browns' depth chart.
Put Jalen Waddle on the
– You're not getting that.
Is he a wide receiver one?
That's ridiculous.
Is he a wide receiver one?
Carter, that's ridiculous. I would take Hunter Renfro over Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh my goodness.
I think almost every single offensive coordinator in the NFL would too. And I think most defensive players in the NFL would agree with that.
All right.
There are so many wide receivers who's better than Donovan Peoples-Jones. So,
you're wrong, and we'll eventually that'll come to fruition, and you'll apologize to Jake and Hunter and say nothing to me as normal, even though I've been on the DPGA train for literally 3 years. Came out of Michigan.
Ayuk over Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's a wide receiver too. So
it's whatever. It's whatever. We can just move on. My question to you all.
That was one of the stupidest things you've ever said.
Nope. We'll revisit this when you said when you said DPJ makes Baker look like a terrible quarterback. We'll revisit. Don't worry.
I didn't. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You can literally ask them. You did multiple occasions.
No, I didn't.
You said he was awful and you made
Baker. I did say that.
Because the receivers were bad.
I was not a fan of the receivers. No.
Okay, in fairness, DPJ has not played good until this year.
Oh, I wonder why. My question to you all, is Jacoby Brissett a top three quarterback in the franchise since 1998?
Did you see that on Twitter? I was just about to ask that.
Yep, that's my question. I want you to answer it because I'm struggling here.
Yes.
Top three?
There's legit
not. I have him at three at the moment.
You would have
Baker over him.
Baker would be over him.
The playoff game. Brian Hoyer in his prime was better than Jacoby Brissett. I would probably who's 07?
Would you go Anderson?
Anderson.
Anderson. Tim Couch, I think, was better. He was just had a horrible O-line.
What about Delhomme?
I have Delhomme and Anderson better than him. I don't think Hoyer was better than him.
You know, okay. How do you not have Hoyer or Baker over Jacoby Brissett?
I just think he was.
Wow.
He made more plays than Brian Hoyer.
He's playing under one of the best O-lines in the league.
That's completely fair. But Jacoby's also had a solid season.
My passes were probably going to
lose. You have percent for Baker.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. I guarantee. Oh, my God. Yes. 100%.
I would say Tim Couch is.
Tim Couch, but Tim Couch never had a better season. It's not about who's more talented. Jacoby Brissett.
See, this is what we're going to have difficulty here because most Browns quarterbacks were like surrounded with garbage cans. And
right. No, I agree with that. Like Baker's talent level, his maximum talent level is probably better than Jacoby. It is better than Jacoby Brissett. Same with Tim Couch, in my opinion. Like, but Jacoby Brissett,
when you're talking
about still win games.
When you're talking about right. Browns quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield has to be one. He won us a playoff game. That is it. Baker Mayfield should be one when you're talking about Browns quarterbacks.
One? No, he's not. Yes. All time or since 1998?
Since 99.
Yes, all time.
Okay, so what happens?
I'm taking Baker over Bernie.
What happens if Cade York hits some extra points and hits a field goal and all of a sudden we have a winning record and we go into the playoffs and Jacoby wins this playoff game? Theoretically.
Hold on. Theoretically, what if Jacoby Brissett doesn't throw the interception against the Jets, doesn't have an awful game against the Panthers, doesn't throw the interception in the 5-yard line against the Chargers? Hypothetically, what if Jacoby Brissett doesn't do that? So, no, you can't put it on Cade York when Jacoby Brissett has had plenty of his own mistakes. Brissett's been good this year, but he has had way too many inconsistencies and mistakes.
You know, Brissett is definitely a top three backup QB in this league.
Yes. Easily.
And besides the last 5 seconds, he's been very consistent. To say he's had too many inconsistencies is just false. It's just blame
Carter. You just blamed Cade York for a few games, and you said, you know, hypothetically think about this. And I said, hypothetically think about Jacoby Brissett not throwing an interception against the Chargers.
Is there one game that you can
not throwing an interception against the Jets that would have got us into field goal range? Or not
that Cade York probably would have missed again. Is there one game that you can point the blame at Jacoby Brissett over the defense or Cade York?
I'm not saying you're blaming Jacoby Brissett for the game, but my God, when you need Jacoby Brissett to step up, he's been awful. Last 2 minutes of the game, he has been horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. He has not have no clutch, no it factor. Horrible in the last 2 minutes.
No, I feel like we can all say that. Going into the season, we asked Jacoby to fill a role, and he's filling that role to a T. He's not going to be actually he's honestly done it perfect. So he's not good enough to where people are doing this, like saying that he should play even though Deshaun's back, but he's not worse enough where like people say start Dobbs. He's in this middle ground area, which is perfect. So there's no like discrepancy or just people being idiots. So I actually, his playing level has been actually perfect for my leg.
Yeah.
Not too good, but not too bad. All right. Any last thoughts about the Browns Bengals?
Go Cavs.
Okay. Yeah, go Cavs. Wednesday night, primetime against the Celtics, ESPN. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.